But I remember C.W. Fisk, longtime assistant pastor for Brother Hiles, they asked him do you think the secret to Brother Hiles' preaching, teaching, the effectiveness of it? And he said this, of all the things he could have said, he said this, you know what? He is more than willing to repeat himself. More than willing to repeat himself. And so I think some things we need to visit over and over and over again and make sure that we understand them and get them. Besides that, folks, listen, this is a great Bible study for our church. And remember, each and every one of us make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's one thing to say, well, let's take blessed hope and let's grade them in these 15 areas. And that's fair. That's okay. But you know what? Maybe what we ought to do individually is say, why don't I grade me in these 15 areas? Because I'm helped make up the church. And so these things will be a help for us. Acts chapter number 3. We're only 3 chapters in to the book of Acts. And here we are on the 5th attribute. I'm kind of did them in chronological order as I studied through Acts. So let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1, Acts 3:1. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto him, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I'd love to have been there to see that part of it. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we look at this next attribute. Lord, it's such an important thing for the world to see that the church is a place of miracles. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we study this in the context of the book of Acts and in light of the apostolic gifts, and we'll cover all those things. But Lord, I pray that we would also, as we qualify these things, Lord, remember that you're still a miracle working God. And Lord, you at any time can do anything. And so, Lord, we're never going to put limitations on you. And so I pray, dear Lord, that as we serve you and as we are faithful to you, that you would allow us to see miracles. And Lord, not just to build our faith, but Lord, miracles that are so indisputable and so public that it causes the world to stop and stare and wonder and to be drawn to the church. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The 5th thing, number 5, the 5th thing we learn about these first century Christians is they really believed in the importance of divine, indisputable, public miracles. Now think about that. Divine, that means they come from God. Indisputable, that means they can't be explained away. Public, not just so that the church can see, but so that the world can see. Miracles. Throughout the book of Acts, God performed through and in the church things that grabbed the attention of the lost and provided a platform for evangelism and for revival. And we see one of the very first of these miracles presented to us in Acts chapter number 3. Let me just make some observations about this particular miracle, and then I want to apply it in a broader sense throughout the book of Acts and then to our own situation here. Number 1, let's remember some things. This miracle happened in the temple. It happened in the temple. And folks, listen to me. I believe that church ought to be a miracle place. I believe miracles ought to happen here on a regular basis. I don't think it ought to be an odd or unusual thing for us to see God perform something that is divine and something that is indisputable and something that even catches the attention of the people outside of the walls of this church. Some miracles we'll only see. But you know what? I pray God Let us see from time to time something that the world can't argue away. They can't explain it away. All they can do is point up and say, you know what? God must have done that. And so this miracle happened in the church. I just have spent my life. Come on. My mom and dad took me at 5 years of age. Hadn't attended church before then. But you know, from five on, I've had the wonderful privilege of living my life in church. And I can tell you, folks, that I have watched miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, not just in this church, but in other churches that I've attended. And you know what? I want to say this. That ought to be normal. It ought not to be an odd thing, an unusual thing for us to see God do supernatural things in our midst. Number two, this miracle happened at the hour of prayer. Did you notice that in verse one? And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And I think that everything God puts in this book, he puts very purposefully. And he's going to connect this indisputable miracle to an hour of prayer. And listen, I believe if we want to see these things, we need to ask for these things. Yes, how about this? Ye have not because ye... And you know what? What if all of us just got re-energized on this one attribute and said, Lord, why not? Why not in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 months? Why couldn't we just see one after another, after another, after another, things that the world can't explain away, things that would build the faith of our young people, build the faith of our children, build the faith of our young couples? And why not, Lord? Would you do that for us? If we get back to praying for miracles, I think God might get around to performing some miracles. And so this miracle happened at the hour of prayer. This miracle was performed in the name of Jesus. Did you notice that in verse 6? What did they say? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now let's just establish something. No man has ever performed a miracle. Let me just say that out loud again. No man has ever performed a miracle. Well, preacher, I can take you to the Bible and I can show you where Moses did. Moses didn't do anything. All Moses did was obey God, and God did the miracle. And this is where we get in trouble, and this is where a lot of our charismatic brothers have gotten themselves in trouble. When all of a sudden, hey, do you know that this guy, this man is a faith healer? No, he's not. Hey, come down to the tent. This guy, you know what? He can perform miracles. No, he can't. You know what? The minute we start getting us in the way, let me tell you something. God can turn the spigot off so quick. Even be careful, folks. You know what? Around Blessed Hope Baptist Church, when we see something and God does something unusual, man, we've got to treat that sacredly. We've got to treat that. We've got to be careful even the way we tell it. Okay? Don't get us involved in it. Don't pull some of the credit towards you. Don't push some of the credit towards your pastor. Let's just push all the credit towards God, okay? I just love the fact that God allows us to sit on the front row and have a front row seat to watch him do some amazing things. But one of the things that'll turn it off is if man starts getting in between God and his glory. Don't let that happen. They were very specific in this. While it was being done and afterward in its explanation, you know what they did? They pointed all credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this miracle happened in the temple. It happened in the hour of prayer. It was performed in the name of Jesus. This miracle changed a man forever. Changed a man forever. And you know what? That's a wonderful thing when you see somebody. This still happens in the church house. That somebody can come in, you know what, and their life be a wreck. And they can get saved in church and walk out and never be the same again. Doesn't mean all their problems go away. Doesn't mean that they immediately, you know what, stop sinning and stop failing. But all of a sudden, everybody notices that something happened to that man when he met Jesus. And so this miracle changed a man forever. Number five, this miracle was seen and witnessed by people in the community. Did you see that in verse number 9? And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then in verse number 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And so I like miracles that cause a stir. I like miracles that get the community talking. I like miracles that cause people to start scratching their head and double guessing, reconsidering their unbelief. You know, I mean, listen, we need to see these things at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we have through the year. We'll talk a little bit about it. But folks, I believe that, you know what? We need to see them more as the day approaches. I believe the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, the more I long for God to just allow supernatural things to happen so that we can have a platform to stand upon, to evangelize and preach the gospel and seek revival so that we get people's attention in these last days that, you know what, God is real. And then number six, this miracle opened up an opportunity to evangelize even more people. And God does not do a miracle just so that, you know what, people can talk about blessed hope or people can think we're something. God, when he does something, he wants to bring himself glory and bring people to himself. And just some quick observations. I rushed through that too fast. But you know what, folks? That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And we're going to see that we can then connect that to what is happening today. There's all kinds of types of miracles in the book of Acts. And I'm not going to do a study of that tonight. You can go on. But we saw a miracle of healing. By the way, we'll talk about this. God still does the miracle of healing. We've watched it time and time again here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church where God just, you know what, I say this often, I love it when God makes a liar out of a doctor and you know what, God can turn anything and change anything and do anything and he can use any set of circumstances he wants to get the job done, but we see miracles of healing, we see miracle conversions in the book of Acts. I'm talking about, you know what, folks? I'm talking about the meanest, nastiest, baddest person in town all of a sudden coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about somebody who was demonically controlled. All of a sudden, you know what? He's out preaching Jesus. Okay? Now think about that. Miracle conversions, miracles, miracle resurrections, miraculous deliverances from imprisonment. I mean, you see that where the apostles get themselves in trouble preaching. And next thing you know, man steps in and they're going to shut us up and they're going to lock us up and they're going to, you know what, go ahead and put it on the schedule, execution. And next thing you know, these guys are back out on the street preaching, you know, and they go to prison to go get them. And guess what? They're not there. They're not there. And, you know, we got old Peter, you know, and I think it's chapter 12 of Acts, you know what, and he's got soldiers sleeping on either side of him. An angel of the Lord comes down and decides that he's going to unlock the chains and then unlock the doors. And you know what? Peter's walking behind this angel thinking, am I dreaming this? And all of a sudden he says, okay, see ya. And the angel takes off and he looks around and said, you know what? This isn't a dream. And guess what? Remember, where did he head to? Where did he head to? Hey, where the people were praying. Hey, let's stop again and just say this, folks. I think there's something that every one of us are being connected to right now. I think all of us have a desire and a longing, and it helps our faith to be built. We want to be able to observe and see and sometimes even touch the miraculous. But folks, listen to me. This thing of prayer is so important. And if we want to see it, then we're going to have to ask God to do it. And so, you know, all of these miraculous deliverances. Then miraculous deliverances from demonic oppression and demonic possession. And you know what? The devil's busy in this day and age. I mean, he's busy. You remember when Jesus Christ came the first time, all of a sudden, all this demonic activity was heightened because Christ was here. Well, I think he's coming back a second time, and I think the devil knows his time is short. And you know what? You're seeing more and more. I mean, folks, things that we cannot even explain except there is no way a man would do that unless he was demonically possessed. I mean, come on, the things you're reading about now that's happening almost on a daily basis, you read that and think to yourself, how in the world could somebody decide they're going to arm themselves, walk into a store, walk into a school, and sit there and execute little children? I mean, folks, listen to me. Outside of demonic possession, there is no explanation for that. And yet, you know what? God still is powerful enough to perform those miracles and defeat those forces. And you know what? I think in the last days is the devil is like, I mean, folks, he's kicked the gate open. He's launching a direct attack against the local New Testament church. What we better do is remember, we're going to need God. And we're going to need miraculous deliverance from God in order for us to be able to minister in these last days. Now, I do want to mention something about the miracles, because there's those that say, well, you know what? What the apostles were allowed to do and empowered to do in the book of Acts, you know what? Those things are still available today. And like I said in my prayer, I'm never going to limit God. I mean, if God wants to perform a miracle, he can perform a miracle. He decides he wants to raise somebody from the dead, he can raise him from the dead. He wants to go. If God decides he wants a lame man to find strength in his ankles and his legs and leap and walk and praise God, then you know what? Our God hasn't changed. But the Bible does tell us that during the times of the apostles, matter of fact, I'll have you turn there in Acts chapter number 19, because I want you to be able to have reference to this and maybe mark it in case you ever get asked this question. But in Acts chapter number 19 and verse number 11, there's a couple of verses here that I think will help us because of the way that God worded this to help us. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible says, "And God wrought." Hey, let's not forget that. Who did the miracles? All right, let's not forget it. "God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now, notice that God, in his word, calls these special miracles by the hands of Paul. And you'll notice in the times of the apostles, there were some things that were given to the apostles, some apostolic gifts, some apostolic abilities to perform the miraculous that you will see disappears as the apostles die off and as that first generation goes. Now, one of the reasons is this. You know what? The first generation, that first wave was to the Jews first and then also to the Greeks. And remember that Jesus is the one that said the Jews require a sign. And I think that God allowed the apostles, as they were trying to first go to the Jews, to be able to provide signs and wonders so that the Jews who require a sign, they can never stand before God and say, "Hey, you know what? You didn't give us enough evidences." You know, I shake my head at the level and the determined unbelief of the Jewish people. I really mean that. You know what? Jesus spent his entire ministry performing miracles, indisputable, divine, public miracles, and they still wouldn't accept him as the Messiah. So what does he do? He empowers, then after he leaves, his apostles, his 12 apostles, to be able to extend those type of miracles. So in their efforts to reach the Jews, and you know what? The vast majority of, not all of them, thank God, we can find in the book of Acts some Jews got saved. But I mean, compared to the Gentiles, a very small amount. These are God's chosen people. And so, you know, that's, I guess, saddens my heart. But the Bible teaches us that there are some special miracles, apostolic gifts. For instance, the gift of tongues. And again, I think I really hunkered down and explained that. I hopefully did a good job on that, so we understand the difference between biblical tongues and the false doctrine of an unknown tongue, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But the apostles, they were allowed to use the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues, again, if we go back to the Bible, just a quick review, is if you look in Acts chapter 2, let the Bible define Bible words, okay? Let the word of God define Bible words. And so when they left the upper room, they went into the streets and they began to speak forth the wonderful works of Christ. So 120 Christians are talking to people from all over the world who had gathered for that weekend, that special weekend, that special Passover weekend. And you know what? Then as they are witnessing to them, they have been given the ability to speak the gospel in a language they had never spoke before, but it was a real language that a person from that country could understand. By the way, it's the gift of tongues. It wasn't the gift of ears, okay? So they weren't hearing it. They were speaking it, okay? Now, folks, listen to me. Boy, the missionaries, they'd like to have that again, okay? But you know what? There came a time, and we can read over. In fact, let me just read it to you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. You have to remember, the Bible is still being compiled. The Bible is still being written. They don't have all of the Word of God. Once that is put together, once the apostolic generation passes over, God says in that same portion of Scripture. He says, no, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says this, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, listen, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show I unto you a more excellent way. And God says, all these things I just listed are temporary. I'm going to show you the best gifts. And then he goes into the elevating that two things, the preaching of the word of God and the power of love, agape love. And I still contend those are the two greatest spiritual gifts. You show me a church where lost people come in and they experience agape love. And then you show me that along with experiencing agape love, they are then put underneath the influence of the preaching of the word of God. You know, that's why I say, folks, listen to me. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the preaching of the Bible and love people. And love people. And love people, okay? Now, we've got some new families that are coming into the church. Listen, folks, have you gone over and met them yet? Have you introduced yourself to them yet? Have you introduced your kids to their kids? Are you listening to church? Not everybody else but you. Have you done it? Okay, listen, the minute people come in here, you know what? They need to feel loved. They need to feel wanted. They need to be felt apart. And so let's get our blinders off as we walk in the door and we go right to where we want. Look around, okay? All right, and let's make sure that people, you're getting to know their names and invite them over to your home. Invite them over to your home. Practice Christian hospitality. Get to know them. Get to know their family. Get to know their children. Okay? And if you'll do that, if you'll love people, okay? And you'll trust your preacher to preach the word of God. And we trust the work of the Holy Spirit. You know what? I think those are still the two most powerful spiritual gifts available. It's not the only spiritual gifts, but they're the two most powerful of all the spiritual gifts. Now, let's get into this because I want to kind of bring it now to the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, okay? You know what? God still wants to perform miracles today. Yeah, there's some miracles that I think that, you know what, were apostolic gifts and special miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. But folks, listen to me. That's just a handful. For the most part, you know what? God's willing and I think able to do anything and wants to do it and wants us to be able to see his power and see his moving. And so what do we want to see at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Preacher, when you talk about indisputable, divine, public miracles that not only is seen in the church, but is seen in the community, what are you talking about? Number one, the miracle of the salvation of a soul. The miracle of the salvation of a soul. Preacher, we haven't seen a lot of miracles around here. Are you kidding me? Every time somebody gets saved, it's a miracle. And folks, listen to me. I promise you this is true, and I'm not in the business. It's not my business to get up and try to push other churches down. I'm just flat telling you. There's churches that you could attend in this community that hasn't seen a soul saved in 10 years. I mean, if you walked in and asked, when's the last time you've seen someone walk down and get saved? I think back in, has that ever? You know, listen, that ought to be a regular thing. That ought to be something that happens on a regular basis. And the community needs to see miracle conversions. How about this? The miracle of a transformed life. There's one thing to see someone saved. There's another thing to see them transform, to see them change. Now, folks, this is a problem with, our rock and roll little progressive church movement. Is, you know what? They say, well, come in. We'll sprinkle a little Jesus on top of you. But, you know, you don't have to change anything. You just need a little Jesus sprinkled on top. You'll be fine. Hey, you know what the world needs to see? That therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all of a sudden, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And all of a sudden, the world says, hey, you know what? Something fundamental has changed in them. Something has happened to them. And that's why when you get saved, you want to respond properly to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Because as you allow the Lord then to begin the process of conforming you to the image of His Son, then you know what? More and more people will see Christ's likeness in you. They'll see a difference in you. They'll see a change in you. Come on, as you're growing in grace, there's going to be times where the old crowd's going to come up. Hey, you want to go with us out too? I'm sorry, I used to do that, but you know what? I can't do that anymore. Jesus Christ has come into my life and changed me. And I'm not judging you. I'm not throwing rocks at you. I'm just saying I can't do that anymore. And you know what? As people begin to see a real change in you, then you know what? They become more and more convinced that Christ must be real. Number three, the miracle of pure. I want to say this to our young people. Please listen, young people. The miracle of pure and bold young people. And I mean this. In this day and age, it's a miracle. The miracle of pure and bold young people. And you know, every Wednesday they went out today. Vicksburg, I think y'all hit, and Midland, right? Got all the doors in Vicksburg and Midland. One of the great testimonies for Blessed Hope Baptist Church happens every Wednesday night. And it's not just that our young people go out soul winning. It's that our young people go out soul winning looking like Christian young people, acting like Christian young people, talking like Christian young people. Okay? You know what? The world notices this. They see this. I mean, I don't know how many times somebody has interacted with our young people or come and visited our church or seen them somewhere out in public and literally come over to me and said, I don't know what you're doing down at that church, but I didn't even think young people like this existed anymore. Young people, listen to me. When you're doing the right thing and you've got the right spirit and you know what, you look like Christians and you act like Christians, it makes the world take a step back because they are not seeing that in this day and age. That is such a rare thing to see Christian young people, Christian, watch this, and happy about it. Christian and smiling about it. Having a great time about it. Listen, one of the things you got to get off of, you're worried about what everybody around you thinks. Hey, why don't you just go into McDonald's or wherever y'all go and just have a good time. Stop worrying about who's looking, who's not looking. You know what? Just be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus. Treat everybody good. Treat everybody great. Say hi to everybody. Smile at everybody. Well, they don't smile back. Then smile twice as hard. All right? You know, just, you know, don't let them drag you down. Come on, change the temperature in the room. Isn't that what I taught a couple weeks ago? Be able to change the temperature in the room. And so, you know, I mean, I'll just tell you, for instance, I think I told this story maybe once here, and maybe I shouldn't tell it again, but now y'all are listening because you're thinking, man, he's going to tell us something he maybe shouldn't tell us. And I think I saw four people wake up right then, so that's why. But you remember when Stoles was open down here? And, you know, help me with the names of the owners. Rodney. Rodney and Carla?
Yes, sir.
Rodney and Carla. And Rodney and Carla ran that place, and I love them. We had such a good relationship. And so we opened an account down there because, you know what, that time Jonathan Reiser was working for us, and he didn't want to have to pay for his meals, and so he'd go down there and just charge him to the church. And no, I'm kidding about that. It was his wife. But anyway, but no, you know, we'd have guests come in, you know, and we'd have evangelists come in, and I'd put them up in the motel and say, just go down to Stoles and you can sign a ticket. We'd have a tour group come in, and I'd take them out to eat, and we'd just sign the ticket, you know, and then, you know, they'd bill us every month or so, and that went on for a while, and then all of a sudden I noticed they're not billing us anymore, and I hadn't seen a bill, and I said to the treasurer, Brother Charles, when's the last time we got a bill from Stoles? I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and I got to go by there, you know, so I'd go in there, and I'd say, hey, Rodney, Carla, stick my head in the office. Hey, where's our bill at? And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll get to that. I said, all right. Then another 3 or 4 months went by, and now it's 6 months. You know, I'm thinking one of these days they're going to send me a bill. We're going to have to sell 3 buses to pay off our Stoles bill. I mean, how's that going to look on a financial report, you know, $6,000 to Stoles? Something's going to, that could raise some eyebrows, you know, so. I'm like, and so I stopped in again, and Carla's like, well, we'll get to it. And so then, you know, almost a year's gone by, and I finally walk in, and I sit down in Rodney's office, and I'm not leaving here without a bill. I said, and he looked at me, he said, Brother, Pastor Ross, let me ask you a question. Have you got a bill from us? I said, no, that's why I'm here. He says, if you ever get a bill from us, pay it. And if you don't ever get a bill from us, stop worrying about it. And I went, okay. Okay, I kind of like this arrangement. It's getting better, you know. And I said, well, Rodney, I don't expect you. And he said, I know you don't expect it. But he said, you know what? I watch you bring your school kids down here. I watch those teens come in here. And me and Carla, we just look at each other and shake our heads. Because we don't, you know, I'm sorry, but we're connected with the public school. We see what the average young person is. We don't know what you're doing. But if taking care of this bill for you keeps you doing it, then you just keep doing it. Now, I want to share that story with you to tell you that sometimes we don't think it matters, and we don't think the world notices. Or we see the looks, and sometimes we misinterpret the looks because the devil can sit on our shoulder and tell us all kinds of things. And I'm not saying everybody's happy about our standards or where we are and how we do things. But you know what, folks? I believe this. I believe the way our young people, the way they present themselves, the way they interact with adults. And young people, that's important. The kindness that they show to the people that are waiting on you. Okay, don't you be a punk at the... You know, I don't care if they get your order wrong. Get over it. Shut up and eat it. I mean it. You know what? And then tip them double. I tell you, we're so spoiled. We're a mess, you know. We view waitresses like they're our servants. You know, good night. You go spend 8 hours on your feet, 10 hours on your feet waiting on John Q. Public. Okay, come on. Where's my pizza people at? Give me an amen here. And you know what? Be nice to folks. Hey, if you act the same as the world, then why should they think that coming here is worth it? Or there's any difference between Christians and anybody else? Good night, you know? And so, you know, I want you to know what makes a difference. The miracle of pure and bold young people, the miracle, I'm going to climb on top of this, of pure and separated ladies. I think some of the greatest testimony of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And thank you. Thank you. You know what? Listen, if you have to become like the world to reach the world, you haven't reached the world. The world's reached you. And, you know, the Bible, we haven't taught it in a while. Probably I'll teach it again. And you know what? I'm not mad at you. I love you. And no matter how you dress one way or another, I'm glad that you come here and I'm glad to be your preacher. But the Bible does speak to this matter of dress. And, you know, sometimes it's a matter of, are you going to let God be God in all areas of your life or just the areas in which you are comfortable with? But, you know, I figure God has a right to tell Jerry Ross how to look and how to dress and how to act and how to talk. And, you know, he's God. And whatever he says goes. And so, you know what? We live according to the Bible as best we can. And we love people. You come on a Sunday morning, good night, you'll see. I say, tell everybody, you'll see, you know, soup and nuts and more nuts than soup. And you know, I'm going to bust them in, bring them in. We love them all. Hey, we love them all. Okay, don't you ever give anybody a hard time about the way they're dressed or the way... Don't do that. Love them. Did I say that earlier? Love them. Love them. Okay, we'll take them from where they're at. We'll love them from where they're at. You know what'll change all that in their life? Jesus. Jesus changes all that. You just trust Jesus, trust the preaching of the Bible, you know. But the Bible speaks to these things. And so, you know what, we could say, okay, well, I don't believe that, or I don't want, you know, we can argue it away, but all I know is this. When we follow biblical standards when it comes to dressing and appearing in public, it makes a difference in the eyes of the world. And you know what, people, they look at our ladies and they don't have to wonder if they're Christian. I mean, the first thing that comes to their mind, those are church people. Those are Christian. Okay? And you know what? Ladies, thank you. Because, gentlemen, we get saved. So, you know, the average man comes in here and gets saved. He may have to trim his hair a little bit. He may have to change a few things. Come on. There's not that much change. But when these young ladies get saved and when they begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work on them, they begin to do the right things. They have to make some drastic changes compared to where the culture is. And so they stand out more. And that's why every one of our young men ought to be rooting for our young ladies that are doing right. I mean that. You ought to be fully supportive of that. You ought to have a high respect for that, you know, because they've got to do something that's a lot harder than what we have to do. So the miracle of pure and separated ladies. Number five, the miracle of pure and powerful men. I think the community needs to see that the Bible can transform men into men of God. And you know what, men, every day that you go out there and you stand separate and different than the world, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, your honesty, your integrity, your work ethic, the way the Lord's name comes so easily to your lips, come on. And it's just as normal and natural to talk about church and Jesus and the Word of God as it is football, basketball, and whatever else the world's talking about, then you know what, it makes a difference. And so, you know what, the world needs to see that. And then the miracle, I'll give you this last one, of answered prayer. God loves to show himself mighty on behalf of his children. The Bible still says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And so God says, why don't you just test me? Why don't you just try me? Why don't you just see what I can do? You call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And you know what? I think God is looking for the person who dares to ask him for the miraculous, for what the world would say the impossible. You know, I don't know if I've done this here or not, but if Jonathan, come on up here, I'll just use you real quick, okay? If I said, Jonathan, you know what? You're a strong young man. Man, you are incredibly in good shape, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to show how strong you are, okay? This is a chance to show off and show this congregation just how strong you are, okay? So get in push-up position, all right? Get down on the ground, push-up position, all right? Get down there, okay? This is an opportunity. I want you to do it over there because these people over here want to see you, so let's bring you over here. Bring it all the way over here. Yes. What's the matter? He had x-rays done? Oh, what a wimp. What a wimp. Okay, Luke. Let's get Luke up here. The real... Man, I cannot believe. Did you pay your mom and dad to make up that story? So, now, this is your opportunity to show how powerful and how mighty and how strong, and that not every young man in your family is a wimp. And so this is your chance. So get down in a push-up position, okay? Get ready to wow everybody, all right? Give me one push-up. Okay, stand up. All right, yeah, that's it. Did I give him an opportunity to show how mighty he is? Why? What? Why? Because of what I asked. Because of what I asked. You know, I think God's just kind of up there saying, why don't somebody give me an opportunity to show what I can do? Okay, come on. We bring these little nickel dime prayers to God. I think sometimes he rolls his eyes. You know, he didn't roll his eyes, but if I was him, I'd think, man, preacher, is that all the confidence he has in me? He wanted me to show how strong I am. He gave me an opportunity to do one push-up, seriously. And I think God sometimes says, really, that's it? That's all you're praying for? That's all you're asking? I mean, why don't you let me show off? Why don't you let me show how mighty I am? How strong I am? How I can do the miraculous? And I think the Bible even says, the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the earth, you know, looking for an opportunity to show himself strong on our behalf. And you know what he's looking for? A David that'll walk down to a brook and pick up 5 stones and says, I'll take him down. God, you with me? I think he's looking for a Daniel that says, I'm sorry, I'm not shutting my windows to pray. I've always had them open. I'm going to keep them open. And you know what? And God looks down at the angels and says, hey, look at this. He's going into the lion's den. Woo! They're going to get a chance to see what I can do. And so, folks, listen to me. If we want the miraculous, then why don't we start praying for the miraculous? Come on, bus captain, do you want the miraculous? Then pray for the miraculous. Okay, what is it that you're scared to pray for your bus route? Because, come on, down deep, you really don't think God can do it. I mean, off the charts. I don't mean, Lord, just help us to have 10 more than this. Hey, 10 more is great. Why don't you get so consumed over something that would be so impossible that when it happens, all you can do is just go.
That's it.
Come on. You know why a lot of times I think the local New Testament church isn't seeing the miracles that the book of Acts people? Because you know what? Maybe we need to reinstate the 9th hour prayer meeting. Maybe we need to start getting on our knees again. Maybe we need to start daring to ask God to do something that would cause this community to go, what in the world is going on?
Right.
Okay, all the atheists, all of a sudden, maybe we ought to rethink this atheist thing. All the unbelievers, well, I don't know. I mean, we've laughed and mocked and scorned, but how do we explain that away? Okay, I hope you don't forget that. Because listen to me, this young man's capable of a lot more than one push-up. And our God is capable of a lot more than what we're asking him for right now. And so, you know what, folks? Thank you, by the way. And sorry about that. I picked on him a little too much there. Nah. He's Jonathan. He can take it, man. So, hey, I want to see the miraculous. I want to see miraculous salvations. I want to see miraculous changed lives. I want to see miraculous young people continue to be raised here and go out and just, you know what, turn the world upside down. I want to see miraculous separated ladies and godly men, you know, go into the workplace and just stand up for the Lord. I want to see miracles of answered prayer. And so, you know what, why don't we just say, Lord, we need, if we're going to have the impact we need to have in this community, we need, here it is, divine, we know it comes from you, indisputable, nobody can explain it away, okay? Public, so you know what, it's not just us. Sometimes God gives it for just us to build our faith, but Lord, to shake up the community, miracles that come from God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. What a challenge for us tonight. Lord, what an opportunity for us to come to you, Lord, with a renewed faith. Lord, with a renewed faith. Lord, with a determination, God, that we're going to get a hold of the horns of the altar and we're not going to let go. Lord, we're going to wrestle if we have to wrestle with the angel all night, and even if it causes us to limp for the rest of our life, we're going to know what it is to feel the touch of God and experience the power of God. And Lord, get us hungry again. Now, the time's so short. Get us hungry again. Help us, Lord, dear God. Help the young people to get this. Lord, we got a good youth group. I'm not sure we have a miraculous youth group. And Lord, we've got good ministries. I'm not sure we have miraculous ministries. And so, Lord, we're just coming to you because we can't do any of this. Lord, we can't. We can't do in the flesh what only you can do in your spirit. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you speak very specifically to each of us. My prayer may not be the exact prayer of someone else, but Lord, all of us ought to just get hungry and just get determined and just say, God, I'm just not going to let go of heaven. I'm just not going to stop asking till I'm able to point at something and say, only God could have done that. So Lord, make us hungry again. We pray in Jesus' name.